Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Clock is moving. 2:20 remaining here in Chicago. Rushes on. Rudolph, deep shot downfield, and it's incomplete. Roman Wilson. He was one-on-one with McLeod, and it's going to be 3rd and 4 for Pittsburgh.
Another one of those go balls. They have not been there. They keep trying them. They have not been there. Go with something crossing. Something coming across Mason's face, roll him out. But these go balls that they keep trying just have not been there today for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
You guys go up 21-14, they get a field goal before the half. Just seem like you guys are a little bit off in those situations. This year, we're not a lot of time left on the clock, but teams are able to take the ball down the field on you guys.
I agree completely. It's not acceptable.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. As you drive home from work this Thanksgiving week, as you know by now, the Steelers lost to Chicago 31-28 yesterday, and we're sorting it all out and casting aspersions on people for not only this game, but their failures in the past and the rut that the Steelers find themselves in, where they're a mediocre football team and they're average or slightly above average every season, this high-end mediocrity that this team is mired in, and we all pretty much agree that yesterday was another illustration of that. I do think, and by the way, the 50-minute mark is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Brand Peters Township Fan Weather. It was nice yesterday in Chicago in the 50s. They even were pointing that out on the broadcast. It was a sun-soaked sky there in Chicago for the game. Brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. I do think the Watt brothers and what they said during this game and after this game is super interesting. You've got J.J. Watt, whose brother's on the team, and I give him credit for this, just calling out the Steelers' offense. Go ball to Roman Wilson right before the legal formation penalty. Mm-hmm. Nowhere close. Mm-hmm. And he's a defensive guy, not a former quarterback. Not a former wide receiver.
He's not sitting there breaking down offensive line play and defensive line stunts and concepts.
And he even feels comfortable saying, what are they doing here?
Hey, this kind of sucks is the implication there. This is bad.
They keep banging their head against the wall. The only time they throw the ball downfield is in these types of plays. They're not working. Do something else. And they didn't. And then you've got TJ after the game, and I'm about to post the video of it to my Twitter account right now. I don't think I've seen him, and I watch every single one of his press conferences or locker room scrums after games. I don't think I've ever seen him so visibly distraught and frustrated after a game, and it's not their worst loss by any means.
But he did something big to get a win. Like, he earned the paycheck. If he gets a strip sack that results directly in a touchdown 17 times and that's the only thing he does once a game, I'd be like, that's worth the money. That's an unbelievable season.
I just think reality is setting in for him that he signed up for more of this.
that he has a very good chance of never of not winning a playoff higher NFL career.
He took the huge bag. He took the third contract. He made himself a one helmet guy. He made himself a Steeler for life. But what's going to come with that? You know, all-time Steelers individual defensive records, I guess.
But he's not going to be in the pantheon of great Steelers for a lot of people because unless something drastically changes, he's, again, like I just said, he's definitely not winning a Super Bowl. Very good chance he doesn't win a playoff game.
Or he goes down as one of the great Steelers to never win anything.
And that's, Ernie Stotner,
that's what I mean by reality setting in. He's in his 30s now. He just re-upped. It's not all that different from when the Steelers beat the Browns earlier this year and Myles Garrett was at a loss for words afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's conclusion off of that was like, hey, man, you...
You said you wanted to win a Super Bowl, but then you just took the bag and you signed up for this.
No one held you at gunpoint. You volunteered for this.
Yep.
And I think T.J. Watt is going through the same kind of emotional battle with himself right now.
The problem for him, though, is unlike Garrett, who appears to be, he's not on track for what appears to be an all-time historically great season. Garrett's at least going to be able to say, if he holds his current form, that he's the single-season sack leader, and he might shatter the record.
Yeah, but I mean, it's still going to be done on a team that goes 5-12.
No, but I think you know as well as I do that even the most like team-first people know that it's nice to have some individual accolades.
Sure, but I don't think...
But Watts is like happening in the desert. He's even playing half-decently, and it's just happening.
Well, he's not having the type of year he usually has, but more than anything else, I think he signed up for the idea that this defense, with all the stars and big-name players they had, and it was going to be something special, and it's not. And why is that? Is it scheme? Is it that the coaches overrated the players? What is it?
It's that they gave up on Juan Thornhill too quickly.
They've given up 30 points now in 5 games this year. That's tied for the most in the Mike Tomlin era in a single season. They still have dates with the Ravens twice, although their offense doesn't look great. But you still got Lamar Jackson twice, Detroit on the road, the Bills this Sunday, and this was supposed to be one of Mike Tomlin's best defenses ever. Caleb Williams, this was only his third 3-touchdown game this year. The other games he had 3 touchdowns in were against the Bengals and Cowboys. So that's the company you're keeping. They lost the game 31-28. It does not feel like a 31-28 loss, you know?
It feels like they lost a lot worse. It feels like defensively too, they got exposed a lot worse. Like just when the Bears needed to get something done, they did. They're like a really awful defense. Second most passing yards allowed. They are decidedly mediocre against the run.
I don't think they're really awful. I just don't think they're anywhere close to what.
Pony, they're 28th in total defense, man. They're 20th in scoring defense. If that's not really awful, what is? 28th. There are 4 teams worse than them in total defense.
But I can't say they're really awful because I've seen them play games this year, like the one against the Colts, which might have been the best defense performance by a team.
If they don't turn teams
year.
Over, they suck. They're winless when they lose the turnover.
They
battle.
Turned the Bears over twice in this game.
Still not good enough.
And they scored a defensive touchdown. I wouldn't say they were god-awful, but not good enough. And you can't use the excuse in this game, well, they were on the field too much. No, they actually won time of possession. They weren't tired in this game. They weren't gassed. They're super underachieving. There's no way around that.
I mean, they're spending the kind of money and they're assembling the kind of names that, at least in theory, should yield a lot better results. But here's the thing. I say in theory just to be fair to the concept because they've got so many big-name players. How many of their best players are 30 or older on that side of the ball? Projected best players. Cam is. Watt is. Isn't Ramsey now 30, I believe? If he's not 30, he's right there.
Porter isn't. Wilson isn't. Queen isn't.
No, but I just named their 3 big names on that side of the ball.
Highsmith isn't yet. No, you're right.
Highsmith's in the injury room too much. I can't even include him. It feels like he's, you know, Chuck Clark, guys. They brought in all these dudes who have played for a pretty long time, but usually that's Darius Slay. They brought in...
Who's been well-pipped by...
Pony.
James Pierre.
They brought in Darius Slay in his mid-30s, and the implicit strategy was he is a guy who is able to cover the T. Higginses and Jamar Chases of the world to allow us to do what we want to do. That's lunacy. You get laughed out of the room if you're not Mike Tomlin trying to tell people that that's your strategy. If it's some guy coming in for his first head coaching job who doesn't have cachet, people would look around and go, is he serious? Is that
That's what he thinks this is going to do? Huh.
You would think J.J. Watt would bite his tongue and pick his spots. You know, he doesn't have to come out and root for the Steelers. But no. Okay. Like, if I say something that really rips into Tomlin or their coaching staff or whatever,
mm-hmm.
I might have to deal with some backlash from it.
Or TJ's going to have to deal with, like,
some awkwardness.
Being mad at him via me.
I just think when J.J. comes out and is so adamant and so transparent about their offensive passing philosophy woes, it also makes me think that those two have talked about it.
100.
You know?
Oh, that's... If they think they're being slick about this because it's J.J. just saying it as an observer and that people like Mike don't realize that TJ's probably venting to his brother about this and saying, you can say it, just don't like really make it obvious. If they think they're fooling anybody, they're crazy. He's right, though. Like you said, he's not a defensive back. He's not one of the McCourty brothers who's like studied passing games and all that stuff. He's not a former wide receiver. He's a guy whose job was to get to the quarterback so he couldn't throw the ball, and he knows how bad it looks. This is also one of those times, I think, I don't know if you agree with this, we get a lot of fan complaints, and it just, I think, is like the easiest thing to latch on to. And sometimes I think what even we say and what fans say, because it's obviously right there in front of you, isn't always a good explainer of what's really going on. This is one of those things where when fans say they suck, they don't throw to the middle, their coach is afraid to do it. Like, the obvious critique is also the accurate critique of them, and I think that's really damning.
Here's Chris in Hopewell. Hello, Chris.
Hey, guys. So, I just think to myself, you don't need to have been a football player to know the fact that, like what J.J. Watt's saying, I mean, it's just common sense that every time they do that, everybody knows what they're going to do. They never throw the ball over the middle, and it's just so frustrating because until they do that, it's just going to be the status quo from here on out.
Of being just good enough where you're in contention and you're relevant through the end of the season, and some Steelers fans...
You think they're still going to do that this year? You think they're still going to be in contention and relevant?
Yeah.
That kind of implies that you
relevant
think that
relevant for what? I mean, relevant to make the playoffs, yes. And
that implies...
Since they've expanded the playoffs out to 7.
Yeah, but that means they're going to be relevant for the division because it looks like that's their only avenue. So
I don't necessarily agree with that. I think that's probably right, but I don't think that they're...
That suggests to me that you think they're going to pull one of their classic old switcheroo Tomlin voodoo games and beat, like, the Bills or beat the Ravens in a game where we don't think they're going to beat the Ravens.
They've done stuff like that all year. Why would they stop now?
Do you know what's sad about this, what I'm about to say? Well, no, it's not even sad. I don't even want them to do that. I don't. I don't want them to I don't want Josh Allen to come in here and somehow just stub his toe over and over again. I kind of want a flattening. There's part of me rooting against Mike Tomlin specifically in this situation.
Here's Will next. Hello, Will.
No, yeah, Chris, I completely agree. I was just thinking that I, you know, it's, I think it's best if we don't have one of those fluky wins where he comes up out on the podium after the game talking about how it was a great collective effort. The thing that frustrates me the most,
but what does that mean, though, as a fan? Like, so when they play the Bills on Sunday, you'll root against them? Is that what you're saying?
No, I it's
so then you're in this weird purgatory where it's like it's not good if they win, but you're not willing to say you want them to lose.
Well, because last week when they beat Cincinnati, you know, a win is always going to cover up the ugliness that comes with the team. And then, you know, we're right back in the same situation that we're in now after the game yesterday. And it's a point of, I'm tired of having wins mask up the collective problems with the team and acting like everything's okay 1 week. And then the next week, the same thing happens again. That's been happening for years and years and years. And we're saying the same thing over and over and over again.
Yeah, I also think that there's probably the biggest source of frustration for me is when you are gaslit and told by the national media that you're a well-coached team and you're a great organization.
Yeah, I'm getting extraordinarily sick of that.
And then you're here and you see things happen like yesterday where you have an illegal formation penalty late in the game that potentially costs you points. You see their offensive play calling and play scheme at the end of the game where you have wide receivers running 2-yard routes in a 2-minute drill. And it's like, how, if you guys tell me that this coach is God's gift to football, how are these things so poorly conceived. And I think that's like where, like, I think some of these guys are starting to get that. The light bulb is going on.
Like in the national media?
I think around the Steelers, okay, in terms of like some of their players.
I would love to know. I would like to give truth serum to Patrick Queen, who I don't think is a great player, but I'm starting to hear more and more from not just him, but other people that they put their linebackers in tough spots. Queen comes from the Ravens, where I think most people feel like that's still a better run organization right now. Ramsey's won a damn Super Bowl not that long ago with a team that right now, by the way, has completely reloaded on the fly. Have you noticed that? And looks like the best team in the NFL, the Rams. I would like to know what some of the people who have actually succeeded or been on well-run teams that aren't this
Chris,
one
the guy
think about
with the
this.
Best career on the team fell for it. Aaron Rodgers came here because he wanted to play for Mike Tomlin, or so he says. I think it's probably more so that there weren't really any other options out there.
But I think Mike Tomlin probably
story,
already
he's sticking to it.
I suspect he's probably still like happy if he wanted his last year to be fun. I bet you Mike Tomlin treats him with like the most kid glove of kid gloves.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Black Friday? More like Black Fry-yay! Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday. Because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium, unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Why do you think they were really good guys as open as they were today?
I think we just got to be better, honestly. I think sometimes it was schematic issues that we had. It's kind of hard, you know, for two guys that's underneath defenders to try to guard two routes, you know, that's overhanging off the hashes and stuff. As much as you know it, you're trying to play the run, you try to get back to a bang or whatever it is, it's hard to do that. It's kind of a bad spot to be in, but at the end of the day, we just got to be better, try to recognize and get back.
Is that something you could have adjusted in-game, or
yes,
was it just kind of
schematically? All right. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. I will let you guys know the video of that audio we just played is much better. That's Patrick Queen with Brian Batko and the Post-Gazette and some other reporters after the game. And you could see if there was like a meme that was the definition of biting your tongue. That was Queen at the start of that, like thinking to himself in real time, what can I say here that best describes how frustrated I am, but at the same time doesn't completely bury the coaches and get me in trouble with them where I create something that's like goes viral and now I gotta come into work on Monday and get cross-examined about it. But he also, I think, knows he's making a lot of money and he's not doing anything. So he's looking for a reason or an excuse for why he's had such a hard time this year. I saw that and my initial reaction was, well, I don't really love the messenger here because Queen has been so bad and I think so overpaid. But at the same time, like, I want to give him credit for exposing something if it's true. We are having schematic issues. Could it have been fixed at halftime? Yes. But it wasn't.
Not the only
person. Who's that on?
Hearing from other people, little Mulsey Birdie's telling me that he's not the only person who's played linebacker for this team in recent years under Mike Tomlin who has complained about the way they scheme the game up, excuse me, for their off-ball backers.
I did not listen to the whole, I don't know how long he talked for.
The Queen?
Yes.
2.5 minutes.
Okay, so I did not listen to maybe like the last 30 seconds of it. But someone should have asked him, if you think the scheme stinks and you think you're struggling on defense, both you and the collective, because of what they're asking you to do, and you're also saying a halftime adjustment couldn't have been made, why didn't you voice all of this to your coaches? Why didn't you tell your linebackers coach? Why didn't you tell the defensive coordinator? Why didn't you tell Mike Tomlin? Did you, and they just ignored you and said, all right, thanks, Pat. Well, what do we get around here? We're looking into it. Thanks, Pat. We're looking into it.
Appreciate the feedback.
Because
he's calling them out.
He's their hub of communication.
He's supposed to be the brains on the field, the extension of them.
Yeah. So,
and if he's saying this sucks and it makes it very hard to do the job correctly and it's something that is fixable, it's probably a pretty bad thing if he is just zipping his lips here. Even worse, if he's telling them and they're just saying, nah, the scheme's good. You need to be better at it. Would not put the second part of that past Mike.
Steelers give up 31 points. This was supposed to be the best defense in the NFL. And it's the fifth time this year they've given up more than 30. Offense scored 21. They did get 7 defensively with that strip sack, but that was the only time that Caleb Williams was hit in the game. If you go by percentages, I got the stats right here. He dropped back. Where did I put this? I got too many pages.
He dropped back 35 times, maybe more than that, because that was just his attempted number of his number of pass attempts.
Okay, so I think he was pressured. I saw this stat. That was the lowest pressure rate against him ever.
Pony, he would have had I think 39 dropbacks because he had 35 pass attempts and he had 4 rushes.
And I don't have that. I don't have this number in front of me, but this was not Justin Herbert or Joe Flacco getting rid of the ball in 1.9 seconds or something like that.
His average time to throw?
Yes.
Could probably get that for you.
Well, look that up, because after that one massive play, I don't think a Steelers defender breathed on him.
They don't have it. Next Gen Stats doesn't have it up yet for the rest of the games yesterday, but I think it was said by people who were just charting these things in real time that it wasn't the version of Caleb Williams that was holding on to the ball.
Here is Brian on the Fan. Hello, Brian.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hello.
Hey, real quick. So, again, I probably like the consensus, but just real quick, before I get to my point, I just want to say we're all talking about all this stuff for the Steelers, and all roads lead back to Tomlin. But my big thing is, and this is my – I didn't really hear much about it. I think, Tony, I think you brought it up earlier with regards to Aaron Rodgers. I think that's who I'm pissed at the most. And tell me if I'm wrong. You got a guy, biggest name since Ben and Bradshaw, right, with this organization under center, arguably, right? He has a chance to come in and shred this team that he has beaten up for years, whether he was 27 or...
Oh, no. Hold on. Stay there, Brian. Go ahead.
No, and I was just going to say, guys, I really think he... I think this is an Aaron Rodgers call. I think Aaron Rodgers... I think he punked out. I think he had a chance to show that this is his team, whether it's 1 year, 2 years, and he just didn't do it. And I know the wrist is bad on his left hand, but if that was Ben, Ben would have went in and played the Browns. Ben would have went in and played the Bengals. Aaron Rodgers had a chance to go back to Chicago at age 41 and say, listen, I'm still your daddy, and he didn't
do it.
I really think this was Aaron Rodgers.
For that to be true, he would have had to have been medically cleared by their doctors to play. And then he would have had to tell Mike Tomlin no.
He would have needed to say, like, I'm not ready. I don't trust
I can't go yet.
Body or my hand yet. Yeah. Here's the reason why I don't think that's like the craziest thing I've ever heard. Thanks, Brian, for the call. if he really thought I can play with this bad hand and, you know, I can be some version of my best self, and they said no, and they hid behind, well, you're not cleared by the doctors. We're talking about Aaron Rodgers. Since when does he just say, oh, the doctors said this? The doctors are right. I
Aaron Rodgers famously does not say that.
I bow down to the doctors here. Oh, the people in the medical field know my body better than me? Okay, you got it, guys. Like, it was weird to me that he seemed to be so cool with this decision.
He was. I still said that I based my thought he was going to play on how happy he seemed midweek.
Now, maybe, like, they did pull the carpet rug from underneath him, and he was fuming all day yesterday, and when he talks on Wednesday, we're going to, like, find out that he's, like, still upset or angry at someone within the Steelers organization.
It would have to be Mike, because Mike said he's the one who made the choice.
Which makes me think that he had some role or some say in saying, look, I can go and gut it out, but I'm not going to be myself.
Right.
And at that point, they said, all right, Aaron.
And Mike just says, I'm the one who makes the decision, because that gives Aaron, if, say, Rodgers said, I could play, but I'm not going to be myself, it gives him cover if Mike just says, I made this call.
But he just, if he thought the doctors made the wrong call on him, I don't think he's going to be someone who just, like, stands, you know, like, sits still and keeps his mouth shut and doesn't say anything about it. We're talking about Aaron Rodgers here. He questions everything. Here's Don on the fan. Hello, Don.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
2 weeks in a row at our coffee group, it has been said, where's Chuck Knoll when we need him? He took over a losing organization, and within years, he made him champions. We have a coach that comes up and is a philosopher after every game, giving excuse after excuse. I'd like for him one time to step up and say, this loss is on me. I've never heard that out of Tomlin's mouth.
But can I just ask you a question? If he did that after this game, what difference would it make for you, Don, if he said that?
No, but you know what? He's somewhat pompous, and he always has
Don,
it right.
Don, I think the last time they lost before this game, he said something to the effect of, it was a, you know, a bad effort all the way around. We all deserve blame, and it starts with me.
I mean, he does
say that stuff.
He does act holier than thou at times when he's getting asked harder questions by reporters. And he does have, I think, an arrogance where he invented football and acts like he shouldn't be questioned for the moves he makes as a coach. However, I think the bigger thing, you want to go back to Knoll, I think all of these guys hit an expiration date. Knoll did. Cowher
kind of did. Cowher, they decided Cowher wasn't worth what he wanted
kind
to be paid.
Kind of did, and I think Mike, clearly, when your best work as coach is more than 10 years in the rearview mirror, and
you're not that team's coach anymore unless you coach the Steelers. That's one thing. I do find it funny, though.
But also, what are the odds of you going back to that, Chris, here?
No,
you know what I mean?
Well, because he's never asked to change the way he does things. They're slim and none, and slim left town. By the way,
yep.
I do think Mike is very arrogant in that setting, and I understand why it frustrates people because there's no results lately to back it up. If Chuck Knoll coached in this era, he would be unbelievably condescending in those spots. Bill Cowher, half the time at his press conference, looked like he wanted to throw the podium out of the way and tackle a reporter.
Yes.
Bill was not some demure church mouse in those settings.
Who said, oh, hey, John Steigerwald, great point.
Yeah.
You're right, I'm wrong.
Bill wore
Savarin. I should you call the plays from now on.
Bill wore ugly sweaters and was ready to massacre anybody who looked at him wrong. Let's not pretend like this is unique to Mike. It's
avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start. Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Black Friday? More like Black Fry-yay! Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
At
Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday. Because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It's not. All right, listen to Starkey on Wednesdays. Actually, listen to him every day, but specifically on Wednesdays, you hear about his card of the week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contest runs every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. Last week, it was a Paul Skeens card. Good luck. Maybe Kenneth Gainwell rookie this week. I'm having a hard time coming up with...
He could go Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
What if they just made a special Steelers trading card and it was just the middle of the field, like the hash marks? And there was just there was just a tumbleweed rolling through it.
Or there was that big, like, the no smoking sign yeah. with the orange, with the red
international
circle.
International no symbol. Or it was like a Mr. Yuck on it.
Yeah. Anyways, it's Donnie Football Debrief time, brought to you by Saloni's Italian Bread Company, over 100 years of baking experience. Big Don?
The Debrief, November 24, 2025. We'll dive into a little bit of college football here, entering the final week of the regular season. Pitt needs some help, but they still do have a chance of making it to the ACC championship game. But I did want to get your guys' reaction to an article I saw on CBS today. The headline reading, Pitt's upset win over Georgia Tech pushes the ACC to the brink of college football playoff doomsday. Suggesting that they will not get a team in if certain things go a certain way this weekend and then in the ACC championship.
I don't believe that.
I think that already got nuked, though, with Duke losing last week to – who did not obviously North Carolina. Who did Duke lose last week?
They lost to –
why am I blanking?
Virginia.
Yeah. Once Duke lost that game, that doomsday scenario where the ACC titleist would potentially be Duke and would be behind JMU – and therefore they wouldn't get one of the five auto, you know, conference title bid qualifiers. That's not
North Texas has no good wins and got blown out by USF at home.
So they think that Pitt getting in there would be the doomsday.
And James Madison lost by more to Louisville than Pitt did. It's not happening.
Yeah, basically it read out that like the only teams with a chance were Virginia and Miami.
If Pitt beats Miami and wins the ACC, they are cruising into the...
That was my thing.
Yeah, they're going to be the 11th
seed. If they get in...
The group of five school will be the 12, and they'll be the 11th.
If Pitt gets in to the title game and wins it, they will cruise into the CFP. It won't even be close.
Yeah, they'll have wins over Georgia Tech and Miami, and that'll be enough to get them in. Clemson got in with three losses last year.
They will jump several spots up in legit. If they beat Miami, they'll legitimately get sneaking up on like the top 12 just period.
I thought what happened Saturday night was one of the most Pitt games of all time is in terms of how they played, but also how fans consumed and reacted to that game. It was way less about, holy crap, we got up to a 28-0 lead. Even before the worm started to turn towards Georgia Tech, I already saw the preemptive comments from Pitt fans like, so how are we going to find a way to blow this game? What is going to happen in this game that allows for Georgia Tech to come back and beat us?
When it was 28-0, it was so comprehensive of a beating that I actually didn't have those feelings. And then when they did start to surge, it was – I'll say this. Lovelace's 100-yard pick six was one of the most genuinely shocking things I've seen from a Pitt team because it felt like that worm was fully turning.
But then I was getting texts from people associated with the program and former players who were saying things like, it would be classic Pitt to get a play like that, and feel like the game is over, and still
they did
lose the game.
They did get you close to
it.
The
fake punt being the play that had everybody triggered and made them think, oh my God, we are actually going to find a way to blow this
game. I was watching it at my house with some neighbors because we had had people over, and even after Turner hits the big run to put them up 42-28, people in the room, you know, they still could blow this.
I think you have to give Narduzzi props, and I know he's not. What did Dusty Rhodes say? I'm not the athlete of the day.
I'm not today. I don't look like the
I'm not what the athlete of the day is supposed to look.
He's not what the coach of the day is supposed to be like. It's supposed to be a guy that, like, probably in terms of the way he presents himself as
slick
the head of the program,
but
more about, like, you know, like embracing the NIL and transfer portal and all those things, where I think Pat is still obviously kind of a holdover from, you know, the previous era of college football.
Well, it's also more that Pat usually has a very hard time, like, hiding his feelings on the matter.
They, unlike some other schools that I can think of, including my own, who got beat 70-7 by Notre Dame this weekend.
Could Notre Dame have scored 100 if they wanted to?
I think so. When Eli Holstein stunk, he had a plan B. Even some of these huge programs do not have a second quarterback to go to, man. He hit the eject button on this guy and said, we're going with a true freshman quarterback. And if not for that bold move and the timing of it too, when they did it, they wouldn't be in this situation right now.
Do you think there's any room for criticizing him and saying he still did it a little too late?
No, I do not, actually. I don't, because Holstein wasn't bad.
What about going right to Heinschel, like in the Louisville game at some point?
Still no.
Okay.
I don't really have an issue with that. I get it. Like, I think they would have won both of those games with Heinschel. I do. But I don't really have a lot of, like, regret over that if I'm a Pitt fan. And look, we laugh about some of the losses they've had over the years with him. Like, right when it looks like Pitt's going to turn a corner, they blow some game to a bad team that they have no business losing to.
Mm-hmm.
Since he took over, Clemson and Miami are the only schools in that conference with more ACC wins. Tell me if you actually think, if we're ranking teams in the ACC, does Pitt have the NIL, the resources, and the fan support to be that? No.
They're slightly, I think, below the middle.
Or right in the middle.
Mm-hmm. At best.
Do you agree with that, Donnie?
Yeah.
I mean, I actually think when you think about it, which, just like payrolls in baseball now, I actually think when you look at it reasonably through that prism with those expectations, he overall has done a pretty good job.
They're like the Minnesota Twins, probably. He's also, if he pulls one more upset here, and they're a touchdown dog, and I think Miami is clearly better man for man, but you never know when Miami walks up into 35-degree weather.
But Miami's got their head screwed on straight, because they look at this game like, we got to
blow
beat Pitt by 100 points.
And they'll get in.
To convince the committee to take us, and they might, because how do those guys sit in that room and say, yeah, we're going to take Notre Dame but not take Miami?
No,
when
Miami's
they have the
motivated.
Same record and Miami beat them.
Miami's motivated. Pitt's not going to get like a Miami team that's packed it in at this point.
I think if Miami wins, they get two teams.
Probably.
And I actually think that's kind of just like 13-9. I think Pitt's going to have to beat the refs in this game too. The ACC is not going to tell its referees to, you know, jake the game for Miami.
But they'd rather have two than one.
And the commissioner's going to watch this game and root his ass off for Miami.
If Pitt wins,
100%.
If Pitt beats Miami, then it's the winner of the ACC title game. And you get one out of 12. Well, one out of the 11 available spots. I also, just for the record, I find it mildly endearing that when Pat gets asked about the fake punt after the game, he just goes, you know, I'm just a dumbass. I was a coach trying to make a play. Like, I don't know. There is some, like, he knows how to work a room in a very specific way. If you asked Franklin at Penn State during that, like, during his time there, if that had happened and they had lost, like,
by the way, don't get me started on that.
You're getting a snarky remark
there. You know, chewing every word as
he often
did.
Don't get me started on that, by the way.
On what?
What, I mean, I know.
Is it Franklin or Penn State that we're about to talk about
here? I know that he coached Craig, and I think he's by all accounts, everybody who knows him says he is a fantastic guy. Talking about Terry Smith. You're wearing a 409 Joe pin. We know what you're doing
here.
It's
a very cynical effort to get some of the worst people associated with that program who have money on your side
exactly.
So you can get the job. That's all that it is.
That's exactly what that is.
It's he's more trying, of a commentary that he feels he has to do that. That's the sad part. Well, like that he's got to get those people onto his side.
Because obviously Penn State is a massive fan base. They'll be the first ones to tell you that. And I don't want to speak for any of them because I'm not one of them. But I've been around enough of their fans to know this. There are still a gigantic chunk of them, many of which still live here in Greater Pittsburgh, who don't want to go forward. They want to go backwards. And they don't want to get farther away from the Paterno era.
They want to
They want to go back to that.
They're
exactly.
They're the actual victims.
So that's why when someone wears 409 Joe, those people come out of the woodwork and say, see, this is what we need, a real Penn State man in charge of the program.
The issue, though, too, is he's not wearing it to necessarily satisfy the hoi polloi. There are a lot of people with money, a lot of money, who have loud voices there who will pound the table for him. They didn't like James Franklin in part, and this story started to come out right after he got fired, because they didn't feel he embraced the Paterno history and everything enough.
What is he supposed to do?
Which I give him credit for.
Hold on. O'Brien basically at the end of his tenure was like, in true Bill O'Brien fashion, would like start cussing and just saying, I'm done with these bleeps, like these dead-end losers here. He was sick of them.
Yeah. I know that was a little extreme, but I get what you're saying. About
no,
that.
Like that specific group of people. He was just like, I have tried my best to be like dignified and somewhat respectful given the situation, but basically these freaks won't take what I'm doing here as good enough.
And look, if Terry Smith had beaten Ohio State, or if they had hung on to beat Indiana,
2-3.
That's exactly right. That's what I don't get about it. They beat Michigan State, who still doesn't have a conference win, and Thanksgiving is on Thursday. Yeah. They beat Nebraska without its Fugazi, Patrick Mahomes quarterback lookalike out there.
Aren't they on their third string?
I think so.
At the very least, they didn't have Raiola, which is, you know,
in front of 50,000 fans. Wow, what a ringing endorsement for a guy to be a head coach. You want to harry Terry Smith? That's your prerogative, Penn State fans. Go ahead. But he's never been a coordinator before, to the best of my knowledge. The only program he's presided over is the Gateway Gators. He's a good recruiter. You know who also was a good recruiter? James Franklin. And you ran his ass out of town. So what is it really about here? Is it about wins or losses? Or is it about, oh, I just like this guy more because he could tell a great... He could spin a yarn about Tom Bradley like you can't believe.
He wore a pin. If he approached our boss, Craig Riley, and said $150,000 for you to be like to help...
Gone.
Like,
he's the GM.
He's out of there.
If he approached Donnie with that, Donnie takes back everything he said about Penn State
football.
Notice
Donnie was very silent here. He thinks he might be on Terry's radar. If I were Pat Kraft, by the way, their AD, I would be livid with Terry Smith for this. I would be. It's Pat Kraft's, I think, still trying to get away from that era and hold those people at bay. This guy's auditioning for the job, very obviously. I'd be furious. I'd be like, buddy, you don't have a chance.
It's also, like, by the strict definition of things, something he's not allowed to do. He put something on his sweater or jacket that's not, like, technically team game
approved.
Day garb, you know?
Yeah. But it's just a very cynical ploy to get people who have never stopped feeling like the victims and who have money and influence on his side.
That was a Donnie Football Debrief. Thank you, Don.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.